Hi everyone, my name is Oluwa Timileyin and you guys are welcome to another amazing episode of Unscripted with Timmy. I'm happy to have you guys. It's been such a month, it's been such a time that we've had together this month, the month of September. And I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you guys. You know, for our anniversary podcast, we've had Stillness, which is a project on our mental health. And it's been such an amazing, truly amazing experience. I can't even lie. I've been so surprised. I've been so humbled. I've been so, I don't know what word to use to qualify or to quantify how I really feel right now. But thank you guys so much for sticking around, for inviting your friends, for telling people. Our numbers have gone up a chart. It's been crazy. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I am really, truly, truly grateful. Thank you so much to each and every one of you that shared, spoke to a friend, told somebody about it. I am truly grateful. Stillness has been such a huge success, and I am glad that I got to share all of that with you guys. Thank you so much for sticking around, like I said earlier. Thank you so much. And today, I'll be concluding everything about stillness, and I'll be concluding with an episode on, or the topic I'll be talking about today is sexual abuse. Sexual abuse. This project we've spoken about depression and suicide, we've spoken about trauma, we've spoken about anxiety, and now we're speaking about sexual abuse. Now, I'd like to say, I don't think all that I've spoken about this month is all that there is to mental health illnesses. But these are just the ones that I've been led to speak about. And I just hope that during this month, you've learned something, you've seen yourself, and you've also truly discovered that there are possibilities for you to get better. I think that's something I really want to emphasize. No matter what it is that you're going through personally in your own personal space. And I don't know if I've spoken about it or I didn't speak about it. I don't want you to be comfortable in something that is not normal. All right, be it a traumatic experience, be it anxiety, be it whatever it may be, really, I don't want you to get comfortable there. I want you to realize that why we're talking about all of these things is for you to see the light and know that it's possible to get better. It's possible to live above those things. All right, so I'm truly, truly, truly hoping and I'm praying for your own progress, you know, and your joy at the end of the day. So I am truly, truly rooting for you, and I want you to come out on top of all of these things a better version of yourself. All right, so today I'll be speaking about sexual abuse, which I think is very, very tricky. It's very, very sensitive, and I would tread a lot of careful lines, because most times when you speak about sexual abuse, you're speaking about people's childhood. Most, as in at least 9 out of 10 people have had one incident of sexual abuse in their childhood, you know, one or two incidents in their childhood, or even a series of events in their childhood that is characterized or that is plagued by sexual abuse. And it's a very touchy subject to talk to people with, and I want to put a few disclaimers out there. One, I don't know all about sexual abuse, or I don't have all the information. I have a bit of information which I can share with you, which I'm hoping that will help you. But I'm not the end all be all, alright? And my opinion is just my opinion. It's just that, alright? And I want you to know that first. Two, whatever I've said today or whatever I will say today, it does not invalidate your own experiences and your feelings. It does not invalidate your hurt. It doesn't invalidate anything you've gone through and you've had to walk through and you've had to pray through and you've had to cry through. Whatever I said today, I do not mean to invalidate your feelings. Your feelings are very valid and you should feel them as much as you do right now. So I wanted to make that also very clear. All right, your feelings, your emotions are very valid. All right, and I want to say that nothing I say here, I do not mean to invalidate anything you said. I think I'd like to start by saying sexual abuse is at the very core of almost every mental illness that I've seen. And it's so common in our childhood that we need to speak about it. And I know it's touchy, and that's why most people don't speak about it. So I'm going to speak as one that has been abused before, and I'm going to be sharing all of that with you guys, and I'm going to be hoping that you guys truly, truly learn something. Another thing I found about when you're speaking about sexual abuse with people is that families are always involved, and that's why people don't want to speak about it, because you think about the integrity of your family name, or the integrity of your dad as a pastor, a deacon, your mom as an evangelist, or as a women leader in church. And all of these things actually withhold people from speaking out and actually seeking help when they need it. I want you to know that your health, your mental health, your all-round wellness is more important than whatever reputation you're trying to uphold. All right, your all-round wellness is more important than whatever you're trying to, whatever reputation your dad has, or your mom has, or your family has. Because if you're truly not fine, one day you're still going to bring disgrace to them. That's a very harsh thing to say, but it's going to come back and bite you in the ass. It's there. It's going to come back and bite you in the bum bum if you do not deal with these things. All right, so I'm hoping that you truly, truly open up to the possibilities of these things. I think the first time I had an incident with, I think when I was younger, I had a few experiences here and there, but I think a few ones stand out to me right now, and I think it will be sexual abuse. Now, once again, I don't know, you might go and say, Timmy, this is not sexual abuse. I mean, Timmy, this is consensual, but I feel like I was absolutely naive and I was taken advantage of. And I think I was taken advantage of by somebody that was way, way older than me. And I mean, she was in the choir. I mean, I think today I'm really jumping to the point and sharing my experience with you guys. But I'll still try and give some definitions so that you guys also get acquainted with some definitions, and you can, you know, pinpoint if this truly affects you, you know. But I was younger, I was in secondary school, this person was older, she was in the choir. I was in the youth executive at the time. I think I was the PRO at the time. And I think prior to that time, I had not really had any encounter. I'm from a very nuclear family. And so it's really church, home, school for me. You know, I didn't really do a lot of going out and all those things. So any exposure I had it in church. Hence why this happened with somebody that was also in our church at the time. And I think if I think back at it too, I think this was someone that was also struggling with a lot of sexual abuse from our own childhood, you know. So fast forward to when everything started, I think it was just that I was really being taken advantage of. I really didn't know what I was getting into. I really didn't know how far of what I was getting into, but she was quite domineering, and I mean, she did things that I don't think are necessary for me to say right now. I would absolutely leave it to your imaginations. But I feel like she did things to and with me at that age, and it really opened up a lot of sexual, opened me up to a lot of sexual desires that I didn't really understand what it meant or what it was. And that built up my entire teenage years, because getting into adulthood, I struggled with pornography, struggled with masturbation for the longest time. And I know this is not something that people like to come out to talk about, but truly it did, because after that period of time when all those sexual activities were going on between me and this lady, I felt like I was enjoying it. And then, to be honest with you guys, I'm not going to lie, and then after that period of time, she left. I think she traveled, and then that hole was just there, that gap was there. And it made me turn to the internet. Once again, I strongly believe that you should not let young kids have access to the internet, because the internet has almost no barrier or no guideline, no protection, no restrictions whatsoever. I mean, all they will just ask is, are you a robot? I'm like, what do you mean, am I a robot? So, I mean, and it was just easy to bypass that. And it just made me go down and down and down and down and down and down, till I would say I was probably addicted to pornography, even while still knowing God. And quote and unquote, ministering, being a tongue-talking believer. But I was really struggling in my own secret place because of something that started way, way, way in my childhood. And I know this may probably be for some of you like that. Probably an uncle touched you inappropriately, a family member touched you inappropriately when you were younger, or it was just an episode of something you saw when you were younger, and it just created this hunger and this desire for sexual it just created this insatiable sexual urge, and you've been battling with it. And I know you're within the body of Christ, and now you just feel like if you speak up, you're going to be stigmatized. I want you to know that you're not alone, and there's definitely light at the end of the tunnel, and you can get better, and you don't have to always be like that. I'll try to give you a few definitions, and I'll try and talk here and there about what it looks like, you know, what sexual abuse really looks like, and I'll just try and speak about those things quickly while I try to now capitalize finally on the possible solutions and ways you could get better. So I have down here that sexual abuse is a deeply distressing and pervasive form of trauma that can be profound and lasting impact on an individual's mental health. It's defined as a non-consensual sexual activity or coercion. Sexual abuse is a violation of personal boundaries and can occur in various forms, which is why I spoke about even as much as touching you without your consent, especially for ladies. Social, they include rape, molestation, harassment, or assault. 8 out of your 10 female friends have gone through this. And I know many times when people try to speak about how some of the extremists of the feminist movement have, you know, made the movement try to minimize the effect that the movement should be having, I still tend to want to encourage people, because the truth is, yeah, the pros is more than the cons when you think about the feminist movement and what these women have had to go through. It's absolutely insane. In fact, what am I saying? 8 out of 10. 10 out of 10 of your female friends, ask them. Let them share their experiences with you. A friend of mine shared an experience with me that she grew up with. This is so tough. She grew up with her father. You know, she grew up with images of her father masturbating to her and her sister lying down. You see, that's horrific. Even barely speaking about it right now, I'm angry all over again. You know, and when we say like the girl child needs to be protected, and we say about how girls cannot even enter a bus, they can't even go to a cafeteria to kind of get food, and the guys are there getting all sorts of ideas. And before you come at me and say this because of the way they are dressed, you don't go having sexual thoughts towards a goat because the goat is not dressed, would you? So I think we need to really calm down and think about this thing. Like I said, it's a very sensitive topic, and it has back and forth, and it has fronts and backs, and I'm not trying to like justify anything. I'm just trying to bring enlightenment, especially from a Christian perspective, to this conversation. All right, so moving on. Yeah, the consequences of these traumatic experiences, they extend beyond the physical realm, significantly affecting the mental well-being of its survivors. So sometimes, even after getting out of that space, even after not being in that space, it has long-lasting effects. As you see it, you notice, for the few people I've interacted with all my life, you find out that there's always this exposure that is unhealthy, that they have now been, you know, that they are now experiencing. They've seen so much. They've already experienced so much, even at a very young and tender age. It creates this insatiable sexual urge, and it's absolutely dangerous. Absolutely dangerous. Absolutely dangerous. You see, there's some common symptoms, right? There is intrusive memories, flashbacks, nightmares, severe anxiety, which is always related to what actually happened. And then there is hyper arousal, there is hyper vigilance, there's exaggerated startle responses. These are common things that you can look out for somebody going through this. And if you're going through this, all of these things are not normal. All of these things are not normal. Like we established at the beginning of this project, we established that time does not really heal anybody. Time does not heal anybody. You must understand that if you do not intentionally walk yourself through the process of getting better, you will not heal over time. You will notice that this happened in your childhood and you've been trying to shove it away. But all of these things are counted, still happen to you. I want to let you know that I feel like you still need to do some work in getting better. And you're not getting better for any man that wants to marry you. Please, that's absolutely insulting. You're getting better for yourself, not even for your family or not even for the society. You're getting better for yourself, because you don't deserve to be going through this, and you deserve better. There's some other symptoms that you can always look out for. There's always depression and anxiety disorders. There's dissociation. All right. Eventually, you find out that amongst many people, they begin to develop this dissociation as a major coping mechanism. You know, post the traumatic events, you see why they would now say that's where misogyny will come from, the hatred of men. That's where it comes in, because most people, you know, they now want to completely dissociate from anything that looks like that. That looks like that event. You see people that have had traumatic events, let's say rape or any of the sexual abuse in family setting, you see them completely dissociate themselves from the family because they want to remove themselves from anything, that they want to detach anything that reminds them of that event. And subsequently, you find out that they also begin to have detachment issues when they meet people. They either overly obsess over them and are absolutely attached and they seek out validation, or they absolutely just detach at the very least of issues because they have trust issues. Like, that's next thing I was going to say: trust issues, relationship issues, self-esteem issues, body image issues. I can keep going on and on and on and on. And like I said, this is a touchy subject, and I'm not saying this to stigmatize anybody. As a matter of fact, I started by speaking about what I've had to go through. All right, what I've had to go through, how I've had to deal with mental health issues, self-esteem issues, validation issues, growing up, a lot of psychology just stemming from that period of my life. It gets as bad as substance abuse, self-harming behaviors. Come on, you guys, I am at this point, this is even a lot. These are things that we see day in, day out. You see shame and guilt, you see flashback and triggers, and it's absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. I think at this point in this episode, we have absolutely established this problem to a very, I hope I've been able to convince you that this is a menace in our society, and this is something that we experience or that is happening day in, day out. Let me talk about ways to get better. For myself, what I did was, and this is not me sounding overly religious, but I gave my life to Christ. And of course, the addictions didn't go away immediately. I'm not going to sit here to tell you that, oh, I gave my life to Christ and I just stopped watching porn, I stopped masturbating, or I got over it immediately. No, that's not what happened. As a matter of fact, it was harder because now I was a child of God, and like, I felt like if I'd spoken up about it, you know, I would be stigmatized. All right. And there was nowhere as a safe space. And the sin and the addiction was growing in the secrecy of it. I think the first thing you need to do is talk to somebody. What I did, I spoke to people. I gave my life to Christ. I spoke to people that could help me. And I think something I'm going to really recommend, I feel like many people don't speak about enough, is therapy. Therapy, particularly trauma-focused therapy, all right? So there are so many therapeutic processes you could undergo. And people going to therapy, you're not mad. It's not madness to say you're going to therapy. It's not madness. If you need help, you need to speak to a professional. You need to speak to somebody that can help you. And, you know, you should speak out to somebody. You should absolutely speak out to somebody. Let somebody know how you're feeling. Let somebody that can help you. And if you're trying to be vulnerable with somebody, please check out their integrity. Try and check if they have a track record. You know, ask around about them before you go opening up to just anybody, all right? Because sometimes a problem shared might become a gossip if shared to the wrong person, all right? So I want you to check the integrity of the person you're opening up to help you, all right? More oftentimes than not, most people don't get help when they open up to the wrong person, all right? So please and please and please open up to the right persons that can help you get better, all right? So I said give your life to Christ, because I truly believe that these traumatic experiences sometimes can only be healed by the Holy Spirit, can only be healed by God. Only God can make that pain go away. Sometimes I truly believe it. But I don't think it's all that you need. I think you should also get medical help, which is therapy. And I think you need to get into support groups. Like I said, if you open up to your inner caucus, people that you trust with your life, you can open up to them and let them know this is what you're going through. And they become a shield to help you get better. All of these things are intentional steps that you take to get better when you're going through these things that I've spoken about earlier on. All right. So I hope that like you've been able to learn about something. I hope you've been able to, how do I put it now, realize that you truly can get better. I'm absolutely rooting for you. If you need to talk, I'm here. Like I said, I don't know everything about this, but I've been able to share the little that I know, and I hope that it's been able to resonate with you on a deeper level. And I hope beyond this that we're able to spread this light across our society, and we stop blaming the victim, and we stop the stigmatization, and we open up ourselves to these conversations more. All right, I really hope that we do better as a society to allow victims get better. There should be a rehabilitation process in our society to help people get better. All right. I think with that, I'm going to draw the curtains on this episode. I absolutely am humbled, and I if there's anything I've said today that has triggered you in a way, I did not mean it that way. I did not intend to do that. I really just wanted us to have an honest conversation about something that's plaguing us so deep as a society and as a people, as a generation. All right. Like I said, seek out help. Seek out help. If you think that your reputation is more important than seeking out help, eventually it's going to come back and bite you in the bum, like I said earlier. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stillness has been such a ride. It has been such a revealing journey, even for me. And I hope that as I've been able to share my light with you guys, share my story with you guys have been able to find courage in my story. And because this is not a sad story, all right, I'm much better, and I'm in a much, much better place. It's not a sad story. It doesn't have a soppy, sad ending. I am absolutely much better. I'm in a much, much, much better place. And that's why I can even be doing this in the first place and speak about this as freely as this. All right, I hope that you've been able to find light and you've been able to find courage to, like people say, quote unquote, you know, face your demons and truly, truly heal and be a better version of yourself for yourself. All right, thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much for stillness. Thank you so much for following through the month of September. I do not take your love and every single thing for granted. Thank you so much. God bless you guys. Throughout the month of October, I'll be doing so many things, and I want you guys to stick around. Tell your friends, Unscripted with Timmy is still doing things, and October is not going to be any different. A new series might be dropping, a mentorship program might be dropping, a creative hangout might be dropping. We're working on a lot of things, and we cannot wait to share each and all of these things with you. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. God bless you guys. Bye.